Hi,
and thanks for downloading the PT Pinecast, a podcast for DPT students and new grads created entirely by PT students. The twist is, we want a candid and casual conversation instead of a lecture. Because let's be honest, we get more than enough lectures during school. So to keep things a bit lighter, we like to throw in a beer, glass of wine, or mixed drink, just to make sure people are a little more relaxed. My name is Jimmy McKay, a third-year student at Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia, and I'll be your host as we have some drinks and talk PT with clinicians, researchers, and leaders in the field of physical therapy. So feel free to crack a beer while you listen, because the more you drink, the smarter I sound.
This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The very first PT Pinecast podcast, and we are broadcasting live from the World of Beers in downtown Arlington. I'm here with Cookie Friedhoff Bowman. Cookie, give me a little bit of your background. I know you were head of the sports section of the APTA.
I was the member at large.
Member at large, okay.
Yes, and so I took care of all the membership concerns when it came to the sports section, which dealt with combined sections meeting, making sure programming was over. I was over that, and over all the special interest groups.
Okay. You used to work for the University of Kentucky?
I did. I taught at the University in Kentucky, and then I was also in the Sports Medicine Center at the University of Kentucky for 20 years. And before that, I was in Ohio and Texas. And
Cookie's been around.
I've been around.
Cookie seems to surface every time there's a big conference.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be a lot of fun people in some cities. And by fun people, I mean a bunch of fun PTs.
Absolutely. That's the cool thing about going to all the conferences. You just get to see all your old friends again. And you get to make new friends, like meeting you guys. It was awesome down in Charlotte.
So just an aside, I'm a second-year PT student in Marymount University in Arlington. And we went to the next conference, which was down in Charlotte last year. And that's kind of where the idea for this podcast came from, because, of course, the classes and the lectures and everything that goes on during the conference is great. It's great information. It's done by the leading PTs in the field. And then we go to the social hour, and we get to stand next to those people, next to the bar, and strike up a conversation. And they can be a little more frank, be a little more loose. And I kept thinking to myself, these are the conversations that would be great to share with my classmates or other PT students from across the country, which is kind of where the idea of the PT Pinecast came from. I just kind of want to have a beer, and we're drinking the Sea Dog Blueberry Beer in the World of Beers. If you haven't been to a World of Beers, about 150 beers behind the bar, about 60 on tap. So,
how many do you have on your swipe card?
On my swipe card, I've got about 40. And
40.
Our goal is, if you get 250, they put your name on a plaque. So I want to show mom and dad that I drank a lot during PT school by graduation. So
you got your money's worth.
I've got to get up to 250. So
that's what it is to go to a Catholic school.
Yeah, well, we drink. we're thirsty. They serve it at Mass. It seems okay.
Lutherans do the same.
Yeah. So the purpose of the podcast really is just kind of have cool conversations about PT. I approached you because you have a great personality, you're not really shy, and you've been around PT for a long time.
I have been around PT. I've seen a lot over the years, and I've seen a lot of changes over the years.
Okay.
And it's interesting. I went through a certificate program,
right,
which was 15 months total. So you did all your coursework in 12 months, and then you did your clinicals. But that was 12 intense months. We went from 8 in the morning till 5 or 6 at night. And if we wanted a week at Christmas, we went on Saturdays.
Wow.
So it was intense. You guys complain whenever you have a few classes a day. Try all day long with no potty break.
Wow. Can't even go to the bathroom.
Yeah. That's why we initiated Club Plinth.
Club Plinth is what?
Club Plinth. On Thursdays was our really bad day during the cardiopulm section. And so on Thursdays, about 4 o'clock, the bell would ring, and out would come the drinks. There was Club Plinth.
Club Plinth, right there. So you're bringing up education and where things started when you were taking classes. And the topic that you'd want to discuss was, I'm a PT, now what? And I'm about a year and change away from being a PT, which is scary as hell for me. Because as much as I think I know, every time I learn something new, I figure there's 50 more things I don't know. So there's residencies and fellowships. There are letters that I can have after my name besides PT, DPT, and a lot of acronyms in PT. It's confusing.
It is.
But now you have this residency and fellowship thing. What do I do with all that stuff?
You know, the big thing with the residency and fellowships, it takes you to that next level. When you graduate from PT school, you have all the basic knowledge.
Right.
And your basic knowledge now is the knowledge that I gained through continuing ed courses after I graduated. Now it's part of your curriculum. And to take it to the next level, to really feel confident and to feel like you know what you're doing, that's where you need that extra mentorship, where you can actually do things, but you have someone to guide you through that process, through that learning process, so you don't just continue to do the same old stuff.
Okay.
And this is where the residency and fellowships can come in.
So let's start with the residency.
The residency was designed, it was a concept that was thought of many years ago whenever specialization started. With specialization, we required, originally it was like 10,000 hours of clinical practice for ortho, 5,000 for sports, and that made it really hard for people to get specialization. So they came up with this concept of residencies. And with a residency, you're able to get a very concentrated work in your specialization area in a 1 year to 2 year period of time. So you can get all those clinical hours that are necessary to sit for the specialization exam. The other thing it does is it really takes those basic skills you learn in PT school. You learn how to evaluate, you learn how to do some treatment techniques, you learn some exercises, but you really don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I will attest to that.
You don't. And your clinical instructor has their own caseload, and it's really hard for them to take you to that next level because you're at the very beginning, you're babies when you're in the clinic now. So when you get to that residency level, you already have that good foundation that you got during your clinicals, and now you're taking it to that next level. You're getting that critical thinking piece. You're getting that integration piece. You're learning how to think using all the evidence-based practice that you've talked about. Then you're also learning that patients don't necessarily read that literature, and they're not presented like that. So you're getting your diagnostic skills to be a little bit better, and your treatment skills. You're learning to look at function a little bit better.
Yeah, I tried to correct a patient the other day during my first clinical when they were presenting outside the clinical pattern. I said, that shouldn't be right. So just to recap, a residency is continuing ed, about a year to 2 years for most programs. You're getting some information that will prepare you for a specialization test, and you're getting that mentorship.
Absolutely. To go through every residency has to provide 150 hours of one-on-one clinical mentoring. 100 of those hours has to be with the resident actually doing the treatment. And with that, the guidance is not like a clinical instructor. It's more getting that critical thinking component, learning how to think on your feet and integrate everything that's going in. And if things aren't shaping up, and they're not following those clinical predictors, then you know you're getting guidance on how to take it to that next level and figure out what is going on.
Okay. The PT Pinecast. Should he be drinking?
Yep. Well, now we've got residencies, and fellowship is a longer word. And what is the difference between the two? Because one, in my head, if you had said residency and fellowship, they just sound similar. So
they are similar.
Where's the difference?
The residency takes that beginning PT, takes them to the next level.
Okay.
Then you say, man, okay, I'm a sports therapist. So I'm thinking, you know, I really love the overhead athlete. I really love working with shoulder patients. I wish I had more knowledge. I wish I would have seen more patients dealing with shoulders. So now we have an upper extremity fellowship where that is what you focus on. Just like in residencies in medicine, when you go into orthopedics, that's general, and then you specialize in sports medicine, you specialize in joint replacements, you specialize in spine. PT has the same thing. So there are different subsets that create fellowships. Manual therapy has a fellowship and sports has a fellowship.
All right, so you've got residency, which kind of gets you into a specialization.
Right, takes you from the generalist
to
the specialist.
And then fellowships gets a little more specific.
Absolutely.
And how long is that going to, how long does this typically take?
That can be 6 to 9 months to a year.
The PT Pinecast with McKay.
All right, so now that I know what those things are, and they sound really great, I've been going to school for 3 years. Do I need it? I'm in my second year going to my third. I know I want to be a PT still, which is good because it's a lot of money so far and a lot of time. But do you wait? Do you go right into it? Because I figure a lot of people, if they wait, maybe they start a family, maybe it doesn't happen. And if you go right into it, do you have enough clinical experience to know what you want to go into as soon as you leave PT school?
You know, that's an excellent question. And when I was in PT school, I would say, at the end of PT school, I knew I was going to be a sports therapist because I was an athletic trainer prior to going to PT school. I knew that was the direction I was going to take. Many people in my class had no clue what they wanted to do. That would have been hard. But right now, the way things are now in physical therapy, I think a lot of people come into it with an idea of what they want to do when they're out. That may change while they're there. I've had students that, I'm going to be a sports therapist and that's all I want to do. And then they get out and they do acute care and find out they love acute care. Or they find out they love pediatrics and all of a sudden that changes. So if you find something while you're in PT school and you really love that area, then I would say go ahead and go into the residencies.
I'm going to counter that thought with advice that I heard from a gorgeous woman named Cookie 6 months ago, because you spoke in our school and you said pick one of your rotations based on something that you absolutely don't think you ever want to do.
Absolutely.
Does that still hold true, though?
I firmly believe that you need to do that. And I spoke of the woman who wanted to be a sports therapist, made her do an acute care. She fought me all the way, and that's what she's doing today. She loves acute care. So I do think you really need to challenge yourself, because you never know when you're going to get in the clinic, when you're going to run into that patient that shows up with a DVT that the doctor missed, that you have to find out what it is, or the one that's having the MI that's being missed, or the one that's got a wound that's not healing that you saw in acute care that you didn't think you would ever have to see in outpatient. So I think you really do need to challenge yourself, because you never know what life has in store for you.
This is the PT Pinecast.
So now we know what residencies and fellowships are. How do you pick one? How do you find one? I know some of these are hooked up with schools, so you'd be working for the school, and that's kind of like cover part of your tuition. Some of them are independent; they're just third party, and that's all you do. You take a lot of the courses online, and they hook you up with a mentor. How do you pick? What do you look for?
You know, that's individual.
Okay.
You got to realize how you learn best. If you can do online stuff and you're fine with that, that's what you may want to go. But if you feel like you need more, you don't want to go out and find your own mentor. You want that mentor to be in the clinic, because you want to be able to, you've got a tough patient and it's not your mentoring time, but you want to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, can you come look at this and help me with this? What do you think is going on? Then you need to look at those kind of things. You got to look at whether or not they pay you to be in the program, or you pay them to be in the program. You've got to look at how the mentoring occurs. Is the mentor on site, or do you have to bring a mentor in? Are the courses already organized, or do you have to do just independent study, which many are like that, and then you take a test on that?
So there's a lot of variables. But
a lot of variables.
But from just the small amount of research that I've done, more and more are popping up. They're varied, which means there's a market for it afterwards. So
sure.
Now I've finished a residency, I've finished a fellowship, I've got more initials after my name. My mom loves it because it makes me sound fancy, and she can brag to all her friends. But is that going to help me land that job? Is it going to? I mean, I know it's going to make me a better clinician in a specialty. What is that doing for me afterward?
You know,
it's a financial investment. It's
it
time.
Is. It's a huge
time.
Financial investment
on
because
top of PT school.
Most residencies that pay you don't pay you full salary. Or if they pay you for full salary, you're working a lot and you're doing a lot of the educational component on your own at home. Does it get you that job? As an employer or as someone hiring, if I had a choice between a new grad and someone who had gone through a residency, I would pick the residency person over the new grad. I know I'm going to pay them a little more money because they have more experience, but I don't have to work with them as much. And I know that they're going to be able to hit the ground running. Where a new grad, I'm going to have to be mentoring them along the way.
You're going to be their mentor.
I'm going to be their mentor, yes. And I think they bring a little more just because they have that fire in their belly.
Well, they've shown you they're more committed. I mean, PT
committed.
Students are
Absolutely.
Pretty committed. 3 years, a lot of money,
a
lot of time.
Right.
Someone on top of that is probably going to be, I guess, a little more committed or a little more sure that this is the area they want to go into.
Absolutely. Plus, whenever they pick a clinical residency or fellowship away from where they did their PT school, they're going to get a different way of doing PT. As I used to tell the students, there are many ways to do physical therapy. There is UK way, there's the Marymount way, there is the Kaiser way, and it's all good ways to skin the cat. And it's good to have different tricks in your bag and different techniques. And I think that's what you learn by going other places rather than staying at home.
Right. Week two of my first placement, and my my CI, Kim, went to Columbia. And the cool thing I think about her is she's willing to show me everything she learned, and then she's super open to me bringing something up and her saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. Please show me. Which is great, because I'm like, yeah. I'm a student. I don't know anything.
But you do.
But you trust me? And she's like, well, obviously you learned it from somebody. So show me. So that's a cool experience that I'm having. So I'm in my first clinical placement. I know a lot of PT students out there are. You got any like pearls? They would talk about those clinical pearls or the pearls of wisdom.
Be a sponge. Absorb everything you can. Do not sit with your feet up on the desk.
Don't put your feet up. All right.
No, I had a student that did that. Oh, yeah. I was not a happy person. Anyway, I think that when you don't have your own patient with your own clinical instructor, go to one of the other people in the clinic. Observe them, because they have different ways of doing things. Be a sponge. Absorb everything that you can. Take on technique. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to fail. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I still make mistakes.
I'm really good at it.
I
could give a class.
I bet you didn't break anybody's leg.
Not yet, but it's week two.
I did.
Did you break?
I did.
What were you doing?
I was just ranging this little kid's knee. He was 98% full thickness burns, osteoporotic, and we weren't doing. I really wasn't pressing hard. We were just sitting there talking. I had my hand on his shin, and it snapped. Yeah.
What color did you turn?
I was sick to my stomach.
Oh my God.
But you make mistakes, but you learn from your mistakes. So be a sponge. Try things. Don't be afraid.
Who says beer doesn't solve all problems? The PT Pinecast with McKay.
Best moment as a PT, like. One that made you say, I'm glad I went through all those plinth Thursdays.
You know, I will tell you, it was actually at the end of my first year, I was at Baylor Medical Center, and I'd been treating a guy in ICU. I was in acute care then, treating this guy in ICU, and it was, you know, you go in, you're thinking, why am I in here ranging this guy who's in a coma? He doesn't know what's going on, but I went ahead and arranged him. I talked to him. I talked to him about what's going on in football, what's going on in baseball. We talked and talked, and he came out of the coma. And about a month later, he was down in the gym area. And I was working with another patient when they wheeled him in. And he went, that voice, you were the one that was in my room talking to me the whole time. I said, yeah, I was. I was there. I was your therapist. And he said that you were the only one that was nice to me.
All the hair on my arm just
and
stood up.
That was the most moving experience for me. Knowing that I'm talking to this person who's in a coma. Thinking, might as well talk, why not, and get through and tell him what I'm doing, what's going on in the world, and he heard.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anything else the next generation of PT students needs to know? You have the ability to put a boot in the next generation of PT students' asses. What do they need to know?
You know, I really don't want you guys to ever stop learning. I work with too many therapists. I have worked with too many that never take continuing ed, who are satisfied with status quo. That's not what it's all about. Our profession is continually progressing, and I really want you guys to do the research, get those clinical outcome studies going, validate what we do, what we know works. Please start validating it. You've got so much going for you now.
Well, we've got good news and bad news. Good news, we just recorded our very first podcast. Bad news is I'm out of beer.
I'm not. I'm thirsty.
Yeah, she's going to keep going. Well, Cookie, thank you very much for talking with us.
It was my pleasure.
I would like to talk to you again in the future.
Yep.
And I guess your parting words might be like, join the APTA.
Absolutely. And take advantage of all the APTA has to offer.
It's here for Cookie.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that. Taking IPAs over TKAs. It's the PT Pinecast.